This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome, everybody. Bruchim Abayim to our special Friday edition of our Shir, which is on Bir Tefillah, sponsored by Betzalel Rose Umeshpachtoi of Los Angeles, Lenishmas's brother, Tzvi Ben Levi Yitzchak, Neshama Shehaven Aliyah, B'Yomitz Yoshev V'Sol Mishpacha, Ad-Bias Goyal Tzedek. So today we continue on in the Tefillah of Hoidu. We mentioned a few times already, and we're going to mention again this week, that Hoidu was commissioned by David HaMelech, commissioned Asaf to compose Hoidu as a shira that was sung partially for the Tamid Shel Shachar and partially for the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. From Hoidu until Shirulai Shechadosh, they sang for the Tamid Shel Shachar. From Shirulai Shir Chadosh until Roimimu, they sang from the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. And as we're going to see, perhaps next week, this may even have been the song that the cows sang when they brought the Aroin back to the Mishkan. But it was definitely the song that was sang upon the Aron's return to the Mishkan. And we mentioned that's why Nusach Sfard says Hoidu sort of right after Karbonos, since this was the Shir sang over the Kavan Tamid Shel Shachar. Last week we mentioned a few very important ideas. We mentioned the word Hoidu means not only to thank Hashem, but to elevate Hashem. That part of gratitude is to commit oneself to study the eminence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kiru Bishmai refers to the practice of Avraham and Yitzchak, that they were Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Hoidiu ba'amim aliloisav. Shirulai zamrulai. Shirulai means to have the right thoughts. And then through music and song, it illuminates the thoughts. Shirulai zamrulai. Because if you're not thinking the right things, many, Reb Nosson, you know, there are many civilizations that have different kinds of music. Did you know that? You know, there are different civilizations. They have, the Japanese have their music, and the South Africans and the Africans have their music. So music in and of itself is not going to have value. You could even make a whole museum, but without the right machshavos, the music is not bringing anything out. So first it has to be shirulai, zamrulai. Then we had sichu b'chol nifla'isav. That means one has to discuss all the wonders of God. You can't leave out even one. If there is one plant that you haven't spoken about yet, then you need to use the opportunity to speak about all of God's wonders. Then we learned his Hallelu B'Shem Kadshai, that by praising God, we are the one who takes glory, not God, because if Hashem allows us, so to speak, to praise Him, it is a glory for us and not a glory for Him. Now we continue, Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem. Let the heart rejoice of those who seek out God. Would you ever say Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hakarkis? Yismach Lev Mevakshei, your wallet. Nobody is rejoicing looking for their wallet, and nobody's rejoicing looking for their car keys. You could say Yismach Lev Moitzei Hakarkis. You could rejoice if you find your car keys or if you find your wallet. But when it comes to God, the search and the Bikush for the Ribbono Shel Olam is different than any other Bikush, says the Siach Yitzchak. What's interesting is yesterday on Thursday, we were learning in the Shimrushir the approach of the Sefer Shvisas HaShabbos of Rabbi Yitzchak Meltzin. So not only did he write Shvisas HaShabbos, he wrote a parish on the Siddur called the Siach Yitzchak, which is printed in the Siddur Hagra. And he says, Ki b'chol ho'inyanam yish mevakish ezer davar. In every inyan, someone who searches for something, im lo yisig ha'davar, if he doesn't find it, hine amalei l'rik, then all of his toil was for naught, it was a waste. Lo yichein mevakshei Hashem, not so the search for God. Habakasha ba'atzma, hi tachlis niskav. The search itself is a elevated end goal. Shehu ha'hiskarvus elav yisbarach. when it comes to Avodas Hashem, it is the search alone which engenders happiness, which is different than any other area where usually looking for something is aggravating and annoying, and the satisfaction is only in finding it. Comes Rav Shimon Schwab. Now, there's an expression here that I worked on very hard, and I finally, b'siyata d'shmaya, was able to figure out what it's talking about. Says Rav Schwab, b'chol ha'olam, in the whole world, hein etzel ha'yehudim, hein etzel shar umayis, whether by Jews or Gentiles, yeshem anoshem, there are people, asher nafsham, b'cheles, b'havle ha'olam. Their soul is disgusted with the emptiness of this world. They sort of have a dissatisfaction with the superficiality of this world. Yesh asher eim menucha shalahem, noivas mehizboinenus ha'secha. There are those that their lack of peace of mind flows and emanates from intellectual understanding. Some people look at general conduct in the world, look at the promiscuity promoted by the New York Times, look at the emptiness of the mankind, and they intellectually understand that this world is missing something. Then there are other people who have an emotional void. Some people, it's not that they say, you know, life, it's not just about eating food and indulging in pleasure. That's more of an intellectual understanding. Some people just have an emotional pit and they feel that there's something their life is missing. They can't put their finger on it. Hatzara shava shabahem. The common denominator is she'ilu ve'ilu yesh lehem d'chifa penimis l'vakesh d'archat v'yasha. They both have an inner drive to seek out the path of goodness and justice. Now, where does this come from? This is the inner drive of the human being to be mevakesh Hashem. Says the Reb Schwab, kedai likrois mashakasav ger tzedek. It is worthwhile to read what the a righteous convert wrote. Miyapan b'michtav es. So first of all, it took. There you go. I didn't get that right away, but very good. There, a Ger Tzedek from Japan, wrote in the Jewish newspaper. Jewish. It took me a while to figure that one out. Observer. Olav Hashalom, by the way, because there's no more Jewish Observer. Yeah? Shemesaper Moiroyz Chayav. He talks about his history of Hishtal Shalusa Miyoyz Goy Koifra Vapi Koiris Belisham Nitzos Emunah. He grew up in Japan, complete atheist. Uvechipusa Derecha Emes. In his search for the truth, he became a Christian. He was looking for something more. He was looking for something more meaningful, for some kind of spirituality. And v'loy matza sipuk nafshay, he did not find satisfaction until he became a Yehudi reform. He became a reform. V'achar kach konservativ, he became a conservative Jew. Ad shesoyv kosev matza menucha v'yosu Yehudi kasha kadasa kadin, until he found respite, becoming a real Jew. Now, when I say real Jew, anyone born Jewish is a real Jew. The Judaism they practice may not be real Judaism. But if you have a Jewish mother, then regardless of what you do, you're not any more or less a real Jew. However, this was a Gentile. So long as he's not converting to authentic Judaism, he ain't a real Jew. But the truth is, there are thousands like him. Utzrichim loymar lahem. We need to tell them, she'en chashivos ha'ish ha'yehudi chachmasi u'pekchusa k'yotzibay. The importance of a Jew is not a Jew's wisdom. Understand that the value of Judaism is not what is called Jewish wisdom. The value of Judaism is the glory we have being associated with God's holy name. La'es halel b'shem Hashem. And we have the joy that we can rejoice in seeking out Hashem. Yismach lev mevakshe Hashem. V'chol shekein. And certainly among Jews who were born Jews. For example, in our country, in the United States of America, most Jews don't know what Judaism is, whether it's the majority of Jews in the United States of America do not know the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The majority, I shouldn't say the majority, 9 out of 10 Jews in America do not know to say the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Maybe even more by now, out of every 5 weddings that take place in the United States of America, I'm talking of Jewish people, 3 out of 5 are intermarriages. And when I say they don't know Shema, that means they've never said the Pasuk in their life. But that doesn't mean they're not yearning for God. They don't know where to look or how to look. And therefore, says Rav Schwab, because there is an inner yearning in the heart of all mankind, especially of the Jew, to seek out God, it is incumbent upon every Jew who knows the value of Avodas Hashem to conduct oneself, b'chol ma'aseinu, liyos dugma chaya, to be a living example, eich lo leches al haderech, how to go on the way asher meir boy ar Hashem, that the light of God resides in. Because when somebody sees proper conduct, proper midos, proper behavior, then their inner yearning will be activated and they'll say, you know what, maybe this is what I'm yearning for, maybe this is what I'm missing. Okay, so let's see some of the commentary on these psukim. Yismach lev mevakshei Hashem. So we said in the earlier pasuk, Hishalelu b'shem kodshei, glory in His holy name. That is the responsibility of all of Klal Yisrael. But an even higher level is Seek Hashem, Yisamach Lei Mevakshei Hashem. The Mevakshei Hashem have a special reason to rejoice, because to seek, to be a seeker of Hashem is a special madrega. So this is coming from Rav Miller's Sefer called Praise My Soul. In this life, we have the function and the opportunity to seek Hashem, but not to reach Him. But in the afterlife, those who seek Hashem are rewarded that they will reach Hashem. Those who don't strive now will not find later, as the Gemara says in Erevin, Hayoim la'asoysam u'machar l'kabel scharam. This is a life of effort, of toil, of work, of seeking, and the afterlife is the time of achievement. Now, in this life, though, even though we're not achieving, we are still urged to rejoice. It is a duty to rejoice. We're obligated to rejoice. Otherwise, if you're not rejoicing, then you obviously don't recognize the importance of the opportunity. In other words, let's say you knew that through your search, you would make $10 billion. You would be joyous in your search. One who is not joyous in their pursuit of Avodas Hashem apparently doesn't recognize what they are achieving, what they stand to achieve. How can, if we have emuna that Yofesh Sha'acha Shal Koyras Ruach Ba'olam Haba Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh, and that every time we're involved in Limud HaTorah, every time we're involved in doing mitzvahs, we are doing those activities that bring us really the ultimate Toiva that exists. How can one not rejoice if they're, so to speak, putting an effort into something that will pay the greatest possible dividends? He who seeks without joy is not a true seeker. How could you seek without joy? Then you obviously don't recognize what you're looking for. Obviously, you don't realize you're looking for the greatest objective. We are urged to rejoice because the goal of all of our efforts is closeness to Hashem, which is the ultimate good. As David HaMelech says, Va'ani, and as for me, Kervas Elohim, the closeness to Hashem, Li Toiv, is good. This nearness is the purpose of seeking Hashem, and it is the highest perfection for which we rejoice now. Another pshat, says Rav Miller, Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem. The heart of those who seek Hashem will rejoice in the afterlife, in Olam Haba. When I was a bachur, my heart was pounding as I stood about 40 feet away from Avigdor Miller, and I wanted to ask him the following question. Why in the Torah does heart refer to the mind? We say, Uvalev kol chacham lev yitain chachma. In the heart of every wise-hearted person, God placed wisdom. Wisdom is not in the heart. Wisdom is in the mind. Why does the Torah refer to the mind as the heart? And I did have the courage to ask Rav Miller, in fact, why does the Torah refer to the mind as the heart? And he told me, I've already answered this question many times. And I was very distraught because I wanted to hear the answer. And he, I guess, saw that I was distraught. So he said, okay, I'll tell you. And he said, because thoughts are fleeting. In one bracha of Shemana Esrei, you could have 10 million thoughts. You could think about the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks, the Nets, the Jets, the Giants, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, the Buffalo Bills are in the state of New York, you know, and that's just in sports. Then you could think about the stock market and mutual funds and bonds and Israeli bonds and I don't know what else, and crypto coins and all kinds of things. And then you, and that's just in the first word of the first bracha Shemana Esrei. So thoughts are fleeting. Let's say somebody has an improper thought and they start thinking about something else immediately. It's not an avera, it popped into your head and you distract yourself right away. When does the Torah value a thought? That's if you have feeling about the thought. When you become when you have a degree of emotion about the thought. When the heart starts beating about a certain thought you have, that thought is valued in the Torah. So, Yismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem. The heart is here said to rejoice. Here he writes, in the holy tongue, heart denotes thought and emotion. So the lev refers to machshava and hargasha. The thoughts and emotions should be aroused to seek Hashem. Okay. Now, we continue.
Aren't emotions also fleeting? You could be happy in 1 minute, sad in the next. And you also have thoughts that are embedded in your memory. Almost like
grave. Well,
and that you know, you remember things that occurred 50 years ago as if they happened yesterday.
Right. So, but here's the thing: we know the Torah says, "Don't hate your brother in your heart." So, let's say somebody does something to you, and for a split second, I don't like it, and then, so even the slightest millisecond of a thought is a lav in the Torah, or there has to be some significance to that thought. How do you measure whether a thought has a certain significance? It's whether you have a feeling about that thought. You're right, feelings are also very nebulous. But that's why the Torah refers to the mind as the heart, because a thought has value if you have a certain feeling about the thought. Okay, now, we say as follows, Dirshu Hashem ve'uzai, seek out God and His strength. Bakshu fanav tamid, seek out His face always. How does one seek out the strength of Hashem? What does it mean to seek out His strength? Number one, you need to contemplate His creations. You seek out Hashem by contemplating His creations, number one, and number two, and by contemplating His deeds of history through the way He controls history. The first contemplation of His strength is a consideration of the wonders of His wisdom and power through creation. So what are you supposed to study? Raise your eyes on high and see who created these. Yeshaya Navi says, Su'umaraim enechem ru'u mibaraila. Raise up your eyes and look at the heavens. Shlomo HaMelech says, study the ant. What do you learn from the ant? You learn how to be energetic. The Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Zayim Arvez asks, why is the tail of the ox so long? That means you need to look at an ox and give a shear on an ox. You need to give a shear on a namala. you need to think about the sky. The Gemara also darshans, Hashem knows the dog has little food, so therefore He causes his food to be digested for a long time in the body of the dog. So the first thing one has to study is study creation. Number two, you have to study His strength through history. You have to think about how Hashem protected the Avos. How Hashem, even though Yosef thought his life was coming to an end, Hashem guided and guarded Yosef until he became the viceroy and the protector of the Jewish people. You have to think about the events of the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah and the Mun and the Anani Akavod and the miracle of Yeshua. I have to think about the miracle of Hashem's guiding hand in history until today. You have to think about how the Spanish Inquisition thought they were eradicating the Jewish people. Little did they know they were sending Columbus to America to discover the greatest haven that ever existed for the Jewish people. You have to think about the miracle that President Truman became friendly with a guy, Eddie Jacobson, who when there was no chance that the United States would ever recognize the State of Israel, Truman was going to vote against the founding of the State of Israel, and a guy by the name of Eddie Jacobson, who Truman had owned a Borsellino store with him in the South, convinced him to recognize Israel, and Truman said no. And what Eddie Jacobson said is, look out at the front of the White House. There's a statue of Andrew Jackson, and he says you're going to want to be recognized one day as well. What are the chances that Truman would be friendly with some Jewish guy selling Borsellinos to Yeshiva Bachrim?
I don't think they wore Borsellino in Independence, Missouri.
I don't know. Maybe they.
By the way, you know that Truman's wife, Bess Truman, would not let a Jew step into her house. I visited his home in Independence.
Yeah.
And that's a true story.
And she wouldn't let me in. Yeah.
State Department, and amongst the other people in the government who are very hostile towards the establishment of the state.
We have to think about the miracle that the Soviet Union voted for the formation of the State of Israel, contrary to everybody's speculation, and their real motivation is that Israel was a socialist state, so they figured it would become a communist state. But so a person has to understand the guiding hand of the Rebbeinu Shlomo throughout our history. That's all part of Dirshu Hashem V'Uzai. Now, Bakshu Fanav Tamid. Seek His face always. What does that mean, to seek the face of God? His face means His favor. We should want to gain the favor of Hashem. In other words, not enough just to do the mitzvahs, but like the Medrash says in this week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "All right, we'll give you the Torah," Klal Yisrael said, "No, Ritzoneinu Lirois Es Malkeinu. We want to see our King." One, Chayim Beritzoinai. Life is in the goodwill of the Lord. So, in other words, you should always want to seek, not just to say, "Okay, fine, yeah, I daven today," but one should try to want to do mitzvahs in a way where they gain the favor of Hashem. Now, when used with seek, it means more than seeking His favor. It means to seek to come before Him, to approach Him. Our fathers declared this week's parasha, our desire is to see our King. And Moshe, our master, says to Hashem, Hareini nas kvaidecha. This is the urge to come as close as possible to Him, which ultimately is fulfilled of being mekabel the Pnei Ashchina. The Gemara says there are four kinds of people who are not mekabel the Pnei Ashchina: those who lie, those who speak Lashon Hara, those who are mechanef. What is mechanef? Those who flatterers, right? And what's the fourth group who are not mekabel Pnei Ashchina? Flatterers, liars, mesapri Lashon Hara, and who remembers?
Uh,
Who is not Mekabel the Pnei Hashchina? Okay, well, we're going to see in a moment. But being... those people are more than not Mekabel the Pnei Hashchina. Those people do not believe in the Lord. Okay. Let's see. Okay, we'll have to look it up. Okay, then we say, Zichru Nifla Isav, remember his wonders. What does that mean, to remember his wonders? So we're admonished to keep always in mind the pictures of his supernatural deeds. One has to have firmly implanted, Joe, you said before, there's certain... moments in life that are etched into your consciousness. One has to etch into their consciousness the miracles that Hashem performed for Klal Yisrael. We are commanded, Leman tizkar es yoyim tzeischa me'aretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha, which means every day. Hishomer lecha ushmar nafshecha ma'oid pentishkach es hadvarim asher ro einecha ufen yasum levavcha kol yemei chayecha Yoim Asher Amadita Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chayrev. So you, I like to give the following analogy. You know, the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Shuvi Shuvi Hashulamis, Shuvi Shuvi V'Nechazebach, Matechazu Hashulamis, Kimachaylas Ha Machanoyim. Which means like this. This is a conversation that takes place between the nations of the world and the Jewish people. Shuvi, shuvi, hashulamis. Who is the shulamis? Klal Yisrael is the rose. We are the rose among the thorns. The thorns are the nations of the world. The nations of the world say to us, become like us. Join our people. Join the universal man. We will give you power. We will give you prestige. If you just become one of us, you will become officials, governors, presidents, wealthy. V'nechezebach. We will give you position. V'necheze is a lashon of v'ata techeze. You will be given position. And we turn to the nations of the world and we say, Ma techezu bashulamis. What could you offer us? The rose? Kimecholas ha-machanoyim. Is there anything that you could offer us that remotely rivals or resembles the dancing of the camps? That means as follows, that when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, the heavenly angels came down and there was such simcha that the whole retinue of heaven came down to witness what the Ribbono Shel Olam was giving to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says to the nations of the world, there is nothing that you could possibly give us that can rival and that can match the experience that we had at Sinai. So I don't understand something. It's 2021. Sinai was 3,300 years ago. The Gentiles say to us, convert and you'll become kings, presidents. So we say, what could match Sinai? Sinai is long gone. It happened... forever ago. Who remembers Sinai? Well, what are we saying? Ah, we're not going to forsake Sinai. I mean, Sinai is ancient history. But the answer is clearly, that experience was seared onto the consciousness of the Jew. That happiness, that joy, that rendezvous with God, where Navshi Yatsa Bedabroi, where it's considered that God kissed us. And that's why we daven, Yishakeni Minashikos Piyu. We say, Ribbono Shel Olam, kiss us again when you reveal the secrets of the Torah to us again. But that kiss that Hashem gave the Jewish people 3,300 years ago is seared onto the soul of the Jew. It's implanted, it's fixated, it's etched onto our consciousness that we can never forget it and we can never give it up. The analogy I like to give is if you go to Hiroshima today or Nagasaki, you could walk by a bridge and you could look at the bridge and you see a shadow of a guy like this. Or you see a shadow of a guy like that. And you say, well, where's the shadow? Where's the light? Where's the light? The light was 75 years ago in the United States dropped the atom bomb. That the light was so bright, it seared a shadow onto the wall or onto the bridge that you could still see today. It's called nuclear shadows. It has a terminology, nuclear shadows. It's the same thing with Matan Torah. The light, the experience of Matan Torah was so bright, was so powerful, that it seared it onto our souls, it seared it onto our consciousness, that we can never forget it, we can never give it up, we will never trade it in for anything that the nations of the world offer us. So that's what we say, Zichru Nifla Oysav, all of the events of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the giving of the Torah are so powerful that they're literally seared onto our minds. Like the Torah says, Lo yasavisenu, Hashem didn't do these miracles just for them, but He gave it to them that they should relate to us, that we should always remember. Bakshu fun of Tamid. How now? This is very important. Part of seeking Hashem is always remember His miracles. Another important point.
Rabbi, wasn't one of Rabbi Miller's or Rabbi Tzadok Levarcha's mantras, you have to say thank you Hashem during the course of the day, whenever the opportunity comes up, you see something positive happen, right? Wasn't that one of the, I have Rabbi Moshe Goldberger as a Maggid Shir, he was a big Talmud of Rabbi Miller, that's what he used to tell us. He would say thank you Hashem maybe hundreds of times during the course of the day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, his definitely one of the things that he specialized in is having a real awareness of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the day. Now, interesting diuk over here. We say Zichru, not, we don't say Zichru Nifla'is, remember the wonders, but Zichru Nifla'isav, remember His wonders. Why does it have to say remember His wonders? Just say remember the wonders. That implies the special wonders that He did especially for us. Now the truth is, miracles happen in the life of every human being. The Gemara in Kedushin says on Daf Lamed Gimel that even if you see an elderly non-Jew, you should stand up for them. The Gemara says, Kama hab harpat koi avru alav. How many vicissitudes passed over him? Rashi explains, this person experienced so many troubles and miracles in their life. There's so many things that challenge us daily, physically, health, emotional, family. We're constantly challenged and miracles happen to us regularly, to all of mankind. But to the Avos HaKadoshim, Hashem performed His miracles. Not just miracles, His miracles. They're done with special attention and special love. And then we add another word, Zichru Nifla'isav, Asher Asa. Not only remember His wonders, remember His wonders that He did. That's certainly redundant. We already said remember His wonders. Why do we have to say Asher Asa? And Rav Miller interprets it, God did them so that we should remember them. He doesn't say Zichru Nifla'isav, but Zichru Nifla'isav Asher Asa. Hashem performed the wonders in a manner that it was apparent. He did it so that we should remember them. Now I just want to conclude by sharing with you some of the comments of Rashi on these psukim. These psukim of Hoidul Hashem appear in Divrei Hayamim. And the introduction to Hoidu, it says, Bayoim Ahu, on that day, Oz Nosan David Baroish, David appointed as the leader, Lahoidoy Slashem, Biyad Asaf Echav, through the hands of Asaf. Rashi says that means Asaf began Hoidul Hashem Kirvishmai, and then afterwards everyone responded after him, like we find that in Ezra. In other words, Asaf took the lead, he was the chief singer. Now let's just see Rashi's comments on some of these psukim. Hoidiu Ba'amim Aliloisav. Rashi learns that this whole segment is a gratitude, an expression of gratitude for the miracles that God did with the Aron. By the way, if I may digress for a moment, that I think that learning about our daily tefillos in a way is more important than any of the other limudim that we do. And that's because everything else we do, it's sometimes relevant, sometimes not. Even if it's relevant, if it's Hilchos Purim, it's once a year. If it's Hilchos Yom Tov, it's a few times a year. If it's Hilchos Shabbos, it's every week. But when you learn about the tefillos, then you know what to think literally every single day of your life. You know, in a way, the most relevant limud is learning the tefillos. Okay, anyway, the Rashi learns that when we say, make known among the nations God's deeds, this refers to the wonders He did with the Aron and the return of the Aron. Kiru b'shmai. Call out in the name of Hashem, meaning kiru, call out, Hashem yazar la'aronai. God assisted us by helping us retrieve the Aron. His hallelu b'shem kadshai. Glory in His holy name, to say, anyone who believes in God, He will help us. In His holy name, that you have a holy God. Okay. Then what does it mean, seek out God and His might? Rashi learns, seek out God and His might, seek out His mikdash and His aroin. The aroin is called the might of Hashem. Like it says, vayitain lishvi uzai. His might, the aroin, went into captivity. Shenasan aroin olaviya bishvi. Also we say, Kuma Hashem limnuchasecha ata va'aroin uzecha. That's why Elazar, who guarded the Aron, was called Uzzah, because he guarded the Aron that was called Oiz. By the way, okay, remember His wonders. By the way, what were the wonders? That the mice attacked the Philistines for capturing the Aron. Makas achbarim, v'shalokhu parois alois, uvneim kulay bebayis v'yisharena aparis. Remember the miracle that the cows took the children and the cows sang and they didn't return. And this whole song was conducted and composed for the Aron. And they said it, and this we mentioned many times, part of it by the Tamid Shel Shachar, and then Shir LaHashem on the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. I'll end off with a question to think about. This question has been sitting in my subconscious for a few weeks, and that is, if the beginning of Hoidu was said for the Tamid Shel Shachar, and the second part was the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, then we should say the first part of Hoidu by Shachris, and the second part of Hoidu by Mincha. Why do we say the whole thing in the morning? All right, Rabbi Yisrael, I'll let you think about that one. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Mevorchim Adar. There are those who say, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha begins already. And Shabbos, Mevorchim Adar. So wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. And we'll see you, Bez Hashem, Monday, if not sooner.
Shabbos. The reason why we say it all in the morning...
Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.